Good morning. Good morning. 11:22 a.m. on January the 22nd, 2014. 11:22 on 1:22. So, 15:58. Woohoo! I was pumping this morning because I was late. I wanted to get this over. It's not that I don't like spending time with you, but I got stuff to do, places to go, people to see. I postponed again today because that was double digits, but the first digit was a 1 at 7:30 when I came home from dropping off the kid from school. So, yeah, the walk didn't happen. I gave it time to warm up, and it warmed up nicely. It's pushing 40 right now. There's still a breeze. It's still a bit nippy in places, but yeah, much nicer than 12. So there's that. Today's been working on edits day, paperback edits, half share. It's going slow, but it's going. Going is what counts. I hope I'm going to pick up the pace this afternoon a little bit. I'm gonna turn off some of the distractions. My wife is home today, so there's no recording done today. I knew there wasn't gonna be. I should have recorded yesterday, but I can't record when she's home. There's just too much noise in the house. So, we'll have to wait. It's all right. As long as I'm making progress, this is a thing. This is a thing that I'm working on. It's like, yeah, the stuff I should be doing, the stuff I should have done that didn't, but I did something else instead. Yesterday was paper edits, today is paper edits, tomorrow will be paper edits, in between trips to the hospital. I mentioned this yesterday and the day before. Tomorrow morning, about this time, we should be getting back. It's a laparoscopic surgery for the wife tomorrow. And they want her there at like 5 in the morning. So, yeah, we run over, drop her off, get her intake record settled, leave my phone number, and then run home, pick up the kid, take the kid to school, and then go back. I'm hoping that by the time I get back, that things will be, because I have to drop the kid at 7. And surgery starts at 7. So I'm hoping that by the time I get back around 7:30, we'll just be waiting for the recovery. Because this should not be something long and extended. So we'll see. I don't know. One step at a time. Today is today, tomorrow is tomorrow. And don't be surprised if there's no walk tomorrow. If I can do it, I will, because I've got a beautiful string of little green circles running. And I don't want to break those. So we'll see. I can't really leave her if she's drugged out of her mind, which is what I expect is going to happen. So anyway, it'll be a good day to work on paper edits, and there will be more paper edits tomorrow to work on, I'm pretty sure. I did drop a line to my editor, the one who's got owner's share. The one who just got out of the hospital herself. And I'm hoping I'm going to hear something back with some kind of deadline, some sort of estimated delivery for the last third of the book. It is a huge book. The manuscript pages, it's like 750 manuscript pages. And she sent me the first 500 pages, but it's the last 250 that are somewhat problematic. So we'll see. See how it works out. She has a lot on her plate. She's very much in the same place I was last January, so yeah, I'm not going to be that way. When she gets it to me, she gets it to me. When she gets it to me, I'll publish it. And yeah, it's a lot of money, but it'll be a lot of money whenever I publish it. So I'm not really hung out to dry here. Particularly since the paperbacks are rolling, I get the paperbacks out, and I'll sell maybe one paperback a day. But every little nickel in the stream helps, so. And maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe there'll be more than one person a day who will buy a paperback. Maybe it'll be two. Double my expectation. I doubt it. So here we are, walking and talking. Mostly I'm still thinking about what I'd rather be writing rather than what I'm currently editing. But we gotta do what we gotta do. And tomorrow I'm gonna take the laptop with me, the netbook. I'll take the netbook with me so I'll have something to write on if the waiting becomes extensive. Oh, the short story project. Yeah, I want to talk about that today. Mike, I said Reeves McMillan, but it's McMillan Reeves. I think. Now I'm confused because now I don't know which one it really is. Anyway, the guy who wrote City of Masks, which, but if you have not read City of Masks, if you've not listened to City of Masks on Potty Books, it's a great story. Anyway, he started this short story project where he's going to analyze a short story a month. I know I talked about this before, but post his lessons. Well, I read a short story. James. Bierce. Ambrose Bierce. Thank you, James. I don't know where that came from. Ambrose Bierce. An Heiress from Red Horse. Now, this is in an anthology. This is supposed to be the early puzzle or riddle stories, the early pre-detective stories. And so I was looking for this to have some sort of puzzle in it, some sort of thing that needed to be solved. I didn't even answer any questions. I never found a question in the thing. It's like, the only question I found was this woman asking how should I approach this man? And it turns out he approached her. So she didn't have to worry about it. And I'm not exactly sure why it fell into this category, because I didn't find it particularly puzzling. I didn't find it was a light little story. It was pleasant enough, certainly, but not a puzzle story. And the ending was flat. The ending was just ridiculously flat. The ending was set up in the first little bit, and everything in the middle really seemed to distract. Its only purpose seemed to be to distract from the beginning. So that the reader might forget, I suppose. But the reality was that it was like, it was such an obvious ending that I kept turning the pages, or flipping the screens, thinking, okay, so how's this going to unfold? And it turns out that was the end. That was it. That was the ending. And I really didn't get it. So, on the one hand, I probably didn't actually do what I was supposed to do in terms of studying a story that I liked, that worked, to try to discover how it worked. Instead, I wound up with a story that didn't work. Monkpo. I started laying out the pieces of why it didn't work for me. And part of it was that the building was so linear, the construction. This is a story that's told in a series of letters, and each letter is another brick in the wall. And the foundation brick, of course, laid first, is the one most buried, which is fine, which is good, except that there was nothing that a modern reader might interpret as rising action. There was nothing. It was like a walk on the beach, because in parts of it, it was recounting a walk on the beach. It was flat. It was there was no incremental tension. There was no there were no stakes in this that I could read. And while I have myself been guilty of writing stories that appeared like there were no stakes, I found myself having to force myself through this story in order to get to the end, because I was going to analyze this story, and I had a purpose other than the enjoyment of the story. And when I went back through it and looked at it again, I was like, I didn't really miss anything. It's all there. I knew it was all there from the beginning. The main plot points were underlined in bold, set off in italics, in boxes by themselves, within each letter. No, not exactly, but close. I mean, the old saying, hang a lantern on it. These had spotlights on them. And so it was clear that these were going to be important topics, important aspects of the story, but it was not exactly clear. You know, it was a collection, a hodgepodge of factoids that only came together in the end, and came together at the end, well, and I suppose that's what the puzzle was. They came together at the end in such a way as to make me say, so, rather than aha. And now for me, it really should have had an aha at the end. It should have had a oh at the end. It should have had something other than really. That was, and this is supposed to be, this is an Ambrose Bierce. It's supposed to be, and it is, you can find critique, literary critique of it in various sources, none of which I found very enlightening, but, I mean, this is a story, this is a real short story. This is 1891, so the closing days of the 19th century, but still, things have changed in the literary world, apparently, because this sort of artful meander didn't actually say story to me. It was a story, there was an arc, there was something that changed over the course of the story. It was a form that actually has a name, epistolary, because it's told in a series of letters. But the series of letters was all from the same person, there was no back and forth involved. So it was, I don't know, very flat. So I wrote it up anyway. It's on, if you want it, it's on G+. You can find it under my profile. Nathan Lowell-author is my profile now. I have a name. Woo. It's because somebody else apparently has Nathan Lowell. I haven't looked to see who it was. It might be the golf player, the golfer, or it might be the teeny bopper musician in Massachusetts. I don't know. It's also a baseball player, apparently. So anyway, I wrote it up. I'm not sure what I learned about it, but it was interesting. I did not bother trying to type it. I am not engaged enough in the story to type it out. It was tedious. Maybe if I typed it out, maybe I would have had greater insight. Maybe I would have seen something that my reading of it overlooked, but we're going to move on. It's in the same anthology as Edgar Allan Poe's Goldbug, which is I know this is a story that I've read before. I know I've read this story. And Poe is the father of the modern detective story, the modern mystery, in large part because of this story, the Gold Bug, I think. And having done the Edgar Allan Poe short story for, what was it, Tales to Terrify? With Bumba the Chimp. What's that guy's name? Agent to the Stars Without Stars on Hollywood Boulevard. Whatever his name was, anyway. So I've lost it now. That was a pretty intriguing story, but having done that and having had that recent brush with Poe, this seemed like perhaps Gold Bug should be my next stop on the short story train. The next car. At some point I'll have to write a short story. I've resigned myself to that, and I'll do it one morning as a reward, or perhaps punishment. I'm not sure which. But 2,000, 3,000 words. Perhaps I'll follow the Dean Wesley Smith model, 3,000 to 6,000 words. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So I'll get home in time to fix lunch for the spouse. Grab a nosh for me, get back into editing. I have to remember to post this. I also have to remember to leave a little bit early to pick up the kid, because I have stuff to fix for supper, but I don't have everything I need to fix anything. I got around it last night by making quiche, but I can't do that tonight. So I'm not sure what I'm going to make. Something. Heat hurt today. I wonder if there's a front coming. Well, it's supposed to be snow tomorrow, so to add insult to injury and the multiple back and forth from here to Loveland, I've got to deal with snow. So perhaps tomorrow will be a snow day rather than a hospital day. Hey, 18 minutes on the back half. Not bad, not bad at all. I was pushing hard on the first half, so 33 minutes total is not a bad circuit. I'll take it. And chalk up another green circle on my plot of honor or shame, depending on your point of view. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow? Well, tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then. But don't hold your breath.